get right into our message. We will be in Amos chapter 3. And if you want to put a marker in Deuteronomy 28, Amos chapter 3 and a marker in Deuteronomy 28. And then when you find that, if you wouldn't mind standing. And I don't, I'm going to say something real quick about the bulletin that we had last Sunday while you're doing that. Amos chapter 3 and Deuteronomy 28. Pastor's message in the bulletin says Jesus' field training program. And this is not about me. I just want to point this out to you, that because of the faithfulness of Pastor Moore and Pastor Barry, the field training program is saved, follower, discipled, and then messenger. And I am fruit of their labor. And I'm very grateful to them, and I'm very grateful for the Lord. Without them, I would not be here right now. So I just want to thank you, Pastor, and praise the Lord for your faithfulness and Pastor Moore's faithfulness. So Amos chapter 3, marker in Deuteronomy 28. So the first three chapters of the book of Amos, there are 46 verses altogether. And in those verses, 19 times, Amos says, "Thus saith the Lord," or "saith the Lord God." You do the math, that's almost every 2.5 verses in those three chapters, Amos is saying, "Thus saith the Lord," or "saith the Lord God." Amos wants people to know that it's not what he thinks and it's not what he says, but it's about God. And I also want to say that too. It's not about what I think and it's not about what I say. It's about what God says. Amos chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, "Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, You only have I known of all the families of the earth, therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he hath taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord hath not done it?" Thank you, and you may be seated. And I want to pray just one more time, really, really quick. And I want to thank the Lord for helping me with this message. He's provided very many resources for me to help me to do this. And Father, I'm so thankful for you, and I can't do this without you. Help me, please. Calm my nerves, Lord. Help my eyes to work so I can see. And Father, I just pray that you would move me out of the way, please, and you speak through me, thus saith the Lord. Lord, we love you, and I ask for this help in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I want to thank Pastor for his help and guidance and his trust in giving me pulpit liberty. I appreciate it very much, and I know what it means, and I don't take it lightly. I'm very grateful. And this is our eighth message in Amos. The last time we were in Amos, chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, we kind of took a high-level view over them, and then we landed on verse 6. The Lord just impressed upon me to preach about how He's in control of all things, and including evil, which is defined as destruction in verse 6. And I just mentioned this to point out that and there are many more helpful things for us in these verses, and that's why the Lord has us back in them again tonight. It's just more important to follow the Lord where He leads than it is to see how fast that we can preach through the book of Amos. So tonight, the Holy Spirit has led me back to this same passage again. And the title is Walking on the Path from Privilege to Punishment. Walking on the Path from Privilege to Punishment. I'm going to start with a biology lesson about our ears. And as we go through the sermon, you'll understand why. Sound comes from sound waves. That's pretty deep right there, Brother Josh. My voice is generating sound waves right now. Now, our outer ears collect these waves and they travel through the ear canal to the eardrum. The eardrum vibrates in response to the incoming sound waves. These vibrations are then transmitted through three tiny bones in the middle ear. These bones amplify the vibrations and transmit them to a fluid-filled structure in the inner ear called the cochlea. Within the cochlea are specialized sensory cells called hair cells that detect the vibrations in the fluid. These hair cells convert mechanical vibrations of the sound waves into electrical signals. The electrical signals are transmitted by the auditory nerve to the brainstem and then to the auditory cortex in our brain. In the auditory cortex, the brain interprets these electrical signals as sound, thus allowing us to receive and understand the sound that we hear. It's a simplified explanation of how our ears work. The sound's kind of complex, organized, planned out, almost like somebody planned it out and created it. That'd be a different sermon for a different night. So we're going to look at verse 1. Amos said, "Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt." And we're going to focus on the word "hear" and see what we can learn about it tonight. Sometimes as the years go by, words take on different meanings from their origins, and sometimes a word can be a verb or a noun or both, and it just all depends on the context in which the word is used in. The Webster's 1828 dictionary helps us define words that are in the Bible in their original context and meaning. The dictionary defines "hear" this way: to perceive by the ear, to hear sound, to hear a voice, to hear words. To give audience to or allowance to speak. To attend to listen, to hearken. The book of Amos is in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is written and translated for us from the Hebrew. And the Hebrew translation for the word "hear" is shama. Shama means to hear, to listen, to give attention, to understand, to submit to obey. Notice how that lines up with the definitions in the Webster's 1828. To attend to listen, to hearken. To attend to means to give attention to hearken means to obey. And we're going to see later on in the sermon what it means to listen. Shama involves a physical action after the mental action of the brain understands the words that the ears heard. Simply put, in the context of our verse, shama means to obey the words that you hear God say. The children of Israel knew exactly what Amos meant when he said, "Hear this word that the Lord hath spoken against you." In terms of their relationship with God, the children of Israel knew the intent and meaning of shama. They knew it meant to know God, to know His voice, and to obey what He said. They knew it, but as a nation, they were not doing it. The Bible says in Exodus 19:6-8, "These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord." The children of Israel knew what God said. They agreed to do what God said, but they were not doing what God said. And you might be thinking it was 500 years after Moses until the prophet Amos, and many generations of the children of Israel have come and gone. So how do we know that the people in Amos's day knew this? Well, it's the same reason that we know it tonight. It's because God promised it. In Isaiah 48, the Bible says, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Amen. The Torah, also known as the Law, also known as the Law of Moses, it's the first five books in our Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. They contain the foundational laws and commandments given to the children of Israel by God through His preacher Moses. Children of Israel knew the content of these writings, which outline God's covenant and instructions for their proper relationship with Him and for the proper relationships that God wanted them to have with other people. Because God promised it, we still have it 2,000 plus years later. And we actually have something even better. We have Jesus and His living Word. Also, the elders in the children of Israel's communities were responsible for teaching and ensuring the continuation of teaching of all God's laws diligently. They passed down God's laws from generation to generation. They were commanded with a field training program all the way back in those days. Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 7 says, "And these words which I commanded thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." The sons of Korah wrote Psalm 44:1. Says, "We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us, what work thou didst in their days in the times of old." Korah and Moses were first cousins. Their dads were brothers. The Bible does not explicitly give us a chronological order of this, but with dates and events that are known, we can estimate that these sons of Korah are the fourth or fifth generation great-grandsons of Korah. God also sent other prophets, like Amos, to remind the people of His laws and to call them to repentance when they strayed. Hebrews 1:1. "God, who in sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets." Prophets span several centuries as God's messengers, conveying God's will and urging the people to repentance, to uphold justice, righteousness, and faithfulness to God and His Word. Children of Israel also regularly gathered for festivals and assemblies where the laws and teaching of God were reiterated over and over and over. There is account after account in the Bible, including Amos, showing us the times where the children of Israel fell short in their obedience and needed correction and guidance from God through His prophets. Over and over, the children of Israel heard and understood what God said, but over and over, they were not obeying what they heard God say. Hearing is a sensory function, and it just happens automatically. Because of that, we can hear things and pay no attention to them. Did you know that there's a difference between hearing and listening? Because of that, the difference between hearing and listening lies in the choice of how much we engage our brains. Hearing alone is just not simple reception of sound, and hearing alone is just simple reception of sound, and with no action, it is an empty mental function. Listening is active and intentional. When we listen, not only are we hearing the sounds, whatever they may be, we are also paying attention, interpreting, and understanding what that sound means. The first three times that I attended church here was for the boys' patch performance. The only reason that I picked up a hymnal was to see when the song was going to be over with. I heard the singing, but I wasn't listening to it. I heard the preaching, but I wasn't listening to it. The only attention that I gave those first three times was, you're dismissed. My fourth church service was 1 week later. I came at the invitation of my friend Pastor Moore, and I was also under conviction from the Holy Spirit from all the Bible studies that we'd been doing together, but I just didn't understand all of that at that time. The very first hymn that I ever listened to was Living by Faith, a special song special that was sung by Pastor Moore and Miss Melissa that day. And that song melted my soul that morning, and it still does today. Then Pastor preached out of the book of John, the sermon titled Elevator to Hell. I intently listened to every word that he spoke that day, and God worked in my heart with it. I heard and I understood that I was a sinner and I needed God to forgive me. I heard and understood that I was on the elevator to hell and that I deserved it. I heard and I understood with repentance that God would stop the elevator and let me off. I heard and understood, and I asked God to forgive me and come into my heart, and I got saved that day. My salvation that day was the difference between hearing and Shama. And that might just be the same thing for someone in the auditorium tonight or those who are listening on live stream. That's for the lost. But what about those of us who are saved? God strongly desires, He longs for our Shama. He desires our physical action to the obedience of His Word. James 1:22 says, "But be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only." This verse tells us the importance of not just hearing or knowing the Word of God, but actively applying it in our lives through obedient actions. Do what we know and understand what God says. We have the tendency to do the same thing as the children of Israel, not doing what we know and understand what God is speaking to us about. And loved ones, can I help you with this? That's a really bad place for you to be. When we approach God and His Word, it is not simply about I read my Bible today, check mark. I went to church today, check mark. I prayed today, check mark. It's about having our lives changed and our hearts and our minds transformed into the image of His Son. Romans 12, verses 1 through 2 says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." If my life isn't changing because of God's words, then either I have not listened, or I listened and I chose not to obey. A commentator wrote this: "The action of obedience is our only sure measure of successful listening." If you know what God says, and if you understand what God says, and if you're not doing what you understand, then you are being disobedient to God. Our tendency towards the preaching and Bible reading is for passive mental activity. Our ears register sound waves, but we really, truly never try to understand or let alone apply it to our hearts. I'm probably not the only one, but I've sat right out there in that auditorium and I've heard Pastor preach, but it just didn't register. I'm probably not the only one, but in my Bible reading, 15 seconds later, sometimes I don't even know what I just read. The biblical way of hearing, according to the Hebrew word shama, is that we try to understand what God says. We will allow His Word to transform our hearts by intently listening to it, and then we will be obedient to what we understand. God wants more for us than just to hear Him. He wants us to actively engage with His message. He desires His Word to take root in our lives for our spiritual growth and our walk with Him. That walks us into verses 2 and 3. The Bible says, "You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together except they be agreed?" God told Israel, "I chose you. You did not choose me." God did not choose Israel because they were awesome. God chose Israel because He is awesome. God said, "Because I chose you, I revealed myself to you and you alone, no one else. I chose you, I revealed myself to you in a very personal way." God told the children of Israel, "I chose you to show you that I am the one true God. What an opportunity and a privilege that I gave to you. I chose you to demonstrate my power and my blessings through you so that other nations around you would see you, take notice, and they would want a relationship with me too." God said, "But y'all mess that up over and over and over again. I sent my prophets to tell you that you messed up and to repent and return to me, and you didn't." The children of Israel's punishment was deserved, and God said, "Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities." The children of Israel thought that belonging to God meant His protection and not His punishment. They thought it meant victory over their enemies. They incorrectly assumed that because they were His chosen people, they automatically received health and wealth. We're going to see that when we get to Deuteronomy. God's intention was and has always been to bless His people with those things, but when they were walking obediently with Him. The children of Israel, because of their unfaithfulness, walked right down the path from their privilege to their punishment because they chose not to obediently walk with God. As a whole, the children of Israel were more concerned about their relationship with the world and not with each other, and certainly not with God. They were self-centered, self-reliant, self-absorbed, selfish, just like the world around us is today. What do we mean when we say the world? It's the secular, the worldly values, the lifestyles, the systems that are contrary and incompatible with what God says in the Bible. The children of Israel wanted a relationship with the world around them and not with God. They wanted to be like the world around them and not set apart for God. They chose the unfaithful path over and over and over again. So notice between the end of verse 2 and the beginning of verse 3. "Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities." And then verse 3, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Now, this is the Bible, and every word and verse is placed exactly as God intended it to be. I am not disputing that. I agree with it. It's true. A sermon that I listened to, a preacher said this, and this is really good, so I want to share it with you. This is imagination between verses 2 and 3. Imagine the children of Israel responding after verse 2 and said, "Hold up there, Amos. You know that we're God's people, right? You know we're Abraham's seed, right? I'm Amos. You know that God's blessing us, right? Look at all this stuff we have, Amos. Look at all of our cattle. Look at our nice big homes that we have. Amos, look how good we're doing. And you're telling us God's going to judge us? He's not going to judge us, Amos. He's helping us. You're a nut job, Amos. Just go on and get out of here." Okay, that's just imagination. Not changing the Bible or context. It just fits really good right there. The next verse will show us that Amos might have anticipated these objections to the announcement that God was going to deservedly punish them. So imagine Amos responded like this: "Oh, really? You just think you're doing good. You just think God is not going to judge you. You just think you're walking with Him. Well, this is what God sent me to tell you." Verse 3. "Can two walk together except they be agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he hath taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord hath not done it? God, because of his long suffering, because of his mercy, because of his grace, sent Amos to tell the children of Israel, you're not walking in greed with God. God is about to roar. The trap is about to spring. God's warning you. His judgment is coming. Repent. Turn back to him. Verse 3 about walking in greed. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Well, not for very long they can't. Adam and Eve walked in the Garden of Eden with God until they chose to do what they wanted to do. Adam and Eve knew what God said. They understood what God said. They didn't do what God said. And then we all know what happened after that. Genesis 3:23 tells us, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden. That's Adam and Eve got sent forth from the Garden of Eden. So what does walk mean? Well, in the literal sense, obviously it means to move around on foot. In Hebrew, yalak means to walk or to go. It's a common word used throughout the Bible, and it has the same basic meaning as our English word walk. So suppose with me that you're walking on a path in the park with a loved one and you are enjoying peaceful fellowship, and then you come to a Y in the road. It splits and goes in two different directions. If you both do not agree to follow along the same path, you won't be walking agreed anymore, will you? Just walking... Walking with a loved one requires saying no to things. Walking with God requires us to say no and let go of anything that would separate us from Him. As you were walking with your loved one in the park, if you were on your cell phone the whole time, the walk wouldn't be satisfying with either one of you. Many people attempt to walk with God, but they bring their cell phone-like habits along with them. They want their worldly entertainments, and they want their idols, and they want their unhealthy relationships. They know that these things are not God's choice for them, but they pretend everything is fine. But the relationship is not satisfying for them or to God. To walk with God means that you and God are in agreement about your life. Being Christian, the word walk is used metaphorically to describe a person's conduct, their behavior, their way of life. It's a manner in which a person lives out their faith and conducts themselves in accordance with what God says. To walk with God means you have aligned your will with His and seek every day to consider yourself crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We can't be perfect because none of us are. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Our heart's desire is to be pleasing to God and willing to let His Spirit conform us to the image of His Son. That's Romans 12:12. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When we enter into an intimate heart relationship with God through faith in His Son, Hebrews 10:22, He becomes our heart's greatest desire. Meeting with Him is not an activity reserved for just Sunday mornings, but we live to fellowship with Him. A.W. Tozer states that the goal of every Christian should be to live in a state of unbroken worship, and this is only possible when we walk with God. It is not difficult to identify people who walk with God. Their lives are a stark contrast to the world around them. Like stars in the nighttime sky, the Bible says in Philippians 2:15, they produce the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22 and 23, rather than the fruit of fleshly desire, Galatians 5:19 and 21. The Bible says in Acts 4:13 that Peter and John had been arrested for preaching and they were brought before the authorities. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the Scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. When we walk with God every day, the world cannot help but recognize that in spite of our imperfections, in spite of our lack of knowledge in some areas, that we've been with Jesus. And so can I ask you, how's your walk? There are only two ways to walk. We can walk on a path without God. That's the path from privilege to punishment, which means you are trusting in your own decisions and you have no fellowship with God. We can walk on a path with God. It means you made a conscience, an ongoing decision, an effort to trust God and ask Him to guide your decision making, asking for His help to live a life that reflects Christ in a meaningful, special relationship and fellowship with Him. A special relationship with God means accountability with things that He speaks with you about. God's Word says this, so I'm going to do this. The Holy Spirit is stirring me to do this, so I'm going to do this. The Holy Spirit is stirring me to stop doing that, so I'm going to stop doing that. We are accountable for what we know God wants us to do or not to do. We are accountable for it. Luke 12:48. For unto whoever much is given, of him shall much be required. We are accountable to God for our changed lives, so other people's lives can be changed. God wants our shama for a testimony. Leave Amos and go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. The Bible says, Deuteronomy 28, I'm going to read all 10 verses. And it came to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all His commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, blessed shalt thou be in the field, blessed shall be thy fruit, the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall establish thee in holy people unto Himself, as He hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in His ways. Verse 10. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord. God promises an amazing life in these verses. This passage tells the children of Israel about the incredible health and wealth that is available to them. But they incorrectly assumed that because they were God's chosen people, that they would automatically receive these things. They either did not listen to, or they chose to ignore this one little word in verse 1. If thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. These blessings for the children of Israel were contingent upon their obedience to what God told them and their motives behind that obedience. The only motive that God accepts to obedience is out of love for Him. That's in Deuteronomy 6:5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. This verse speaks to the importance of loving God wholeheartedly, and that naturally leads to obedience to His commandments. Children of Israel was disobedient. They incorrectly assumed that because they were God's chosen people, they would automatically receive these blessings and the abundant life. And it is the same human tendency for us today. Just as these blessings described in these verses for the children of Israel are contingent upon their continued obedience out of the love for God, it's still the same for us today. We obey God because we love Him. John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Not because we want Him to bless us with health and wealth. People today are still searching for health and wealth, and there are false prophets and churches out there that preach and teach this incorrect way of thinking. And if that's the kind of preaching that you're looking for, you're not going to find it here at Valley Avenue Baptist Church. We preach and teach the whole counsel of the King James Bible. When you love and follow God, Jesus says you will face persecution, John 15:20. When you love and follow God, that does not mean that you automatically will become healthy and wealthy. When you love and follow God, His path has ruts, bumps, rivers to cross. The true interpretation of these verses speak to the importance of the submission of hearts, love for God, and unwavered obedience to His Word, if we will do these things. Then God will bless us. He will bless us with Him according to His perfect knowledge and will for our life. Then, verse 10, all people of earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord. This tells us that the obedience and faithfulness of God's people will be seen and noticed by all the people of the earth. And that's our testimony, church. All people of the earth, for us, is our communities, our friends, our families, our neighbors, our co-workers, our field. We have Jesus and His living Word. We have the man that God sent to us. We assemble regularly, where the man God sent to us reiterates God's Word over and over and over. Do you hear God speak to you during the preaching of His Word? Are you obeying what you understand God wants you to do? God wants more for you and more for me than to just hear Him. He wants us to obey what we understand. So if you're saved, you are part of God's called out people. God wants you and me, and all people for that matter, to listen to give attention to understand, to submit to, and to obey Him. Let me say it this way. God wants our shama. Hearing is an automatic sensory function. We can hear things and give no attention to them. And we can do that to God's Word as well. We can hear what God says, but not give attention or hearken to what He says. Attention to or hearken means applying what we know God says to our lives and doing it. At the beginning of every church service, say this prayer. Dear Lord, if you did not speak to anyone else in this auditorium, please speak to me. And then, while the preacher is preaching, don't just hear the Holy Spirit, listen intently to Him. When we obey God, when we hearken diligently unto His voice, when we observe and do all His commandments, then God says, the blessings shall come upon us. Our communities, our friends, families, neighbors, co-workers, our field will see these things. And they might just want to know how they can have them too. So tonight I've tried to show you the biblical principle that God's called out people are privileged. And with this privilege comes accountability and responsibility to obey what you understand God wants you to do. And that it is our human nature not to do that, not to obey. God's plan before Amos's day was for his called out people to have a life testimony that was different from the world around them. God's plan during Amos's time was for his called out people to have a life testimony that was different from the world around them. And God's plan tonight is still for his called out people to have a life testimony that's different from the world around them, from the world around us. So are you just hearing God, or are you intently listening to him? Are you walking on the privileged path with God, or are you on your own path, on the punishment path, separated from God? When your field sees you, can they see Jesus, or do you just blend in with the rest of the world? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I preach what you laid on my heart. Now, Father, I ask you to do a work in hearts that only you can. Lord, help us with our shama. Help us with our walk with you. Help us to love you. Let's all bow our heads and no looking around. Please be reverent to the Lord. How many would admit to the Lord right now that you have a tendency of hearing him but not listening to him? I want to pray for you. Would you look at me? How many would admit to the Lord right now that you have the tendency to walk on your own path and not walk with God on his path? I want to pray for you. Would you lift your hand? Thank you. Let me put your hands down. Father, Lord, those of us that lifted our hands, I lift them up to you in a special prayer. Lord, maybe there's someone in here or someone on live stream that understands that and they didn't admit it to you right now, but you're working in their hearts. Lord, I lift those up to you in special prayer that you would just please, Father, work in their hearts and help them soften their hearts and draw them to you. Help them to understand, Lord, that your way is the best way. And Father, I just pray that you would just do a work that only you can do, please. I'm going to do something a little bit different tonight, so if you wouldn't mind, just remain in an attitude of prayer. There are many blessings that God promises to those who love him and are faithful to obey. Here are two of them that you as his saved child can have right now. It doesn't matter where you are on the punishment path. You can come over to the privileged path right now just by asking God with a humble heart. Just telling, Lord, I've been trusting my way. I don't want to do that anymore. Help me walk agreed with you. I need you. Please forgive me. Help me walk on your path. That's all you have to do. Just ask him that truly needed in your heart. And immediately, God will bless you with his grace and forgiveness, and he'll set you on his privileged path to walk with him. If you're not a saved child of God, if there's never been a time in your life that you can remember calling out to God to forgive you of your sin and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as the only way to salvation, then loved one, by default, you are on the punishment path. And just like God sent Amos to warn the children of Israel to repent and turn back to him, God sent me to warn you tonight. God says the punishment path is just like the elevator that leads to hell. And I know I take no pleasure in telling you that. It's just the truth. So if this is you, if you have listened to God's word tonight, if you understand and you know it's true, if you understand and you know it's true, that means you have a choice to make. Choose to remain on the punishment path or choose God and ask Him to bring you over to His privileged path. So if the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to you right now, don't just hear Him. Listen intently to Him and just ask Him. So the Word of God's been preached. If the Lord's working in your heart, the altars are open, and I beseech you to come give your heart to the Lord.